As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
I love the Raiders. Most of all, I love to win.
You're now listening to State of the Nation with Jimmy Durkin, Vic Tafer, Ted Nguyen, and Tashawn Reed on the Athletic Podcast Network.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to an off-season edition of State of the Nation here on the Athletic Podcast Network. Jimmy Durkin, Vic Tafer, and Ted Nguyen. Tashawn Reed, we believe, is sleeping in an airport somewhere. He couldn't quite make it here today, but we'll move on without him. As we discuss the Raiders offseason, we're about a little over a month away from training camp, and really on the field, a relatively quiet offseason for the Raiders. A lot of that has to do with the fact that not much was available to be observed for reporters at the OTA sessions and the mini camp. They didn't really do any team workouts in front of the media. They kind of kept those inside. So not a whole lot to glean and really analyze from what the Raiders have done on the field. Obviously off the field, some big news was made Monday when Carl Nassib came out as gay, becoming the first active NFL player to come out as gay. And, obviously a big moment across the league, a big moment for Carl. And I think it has to be a testament to the fact that he felt comfortable enough to do it and I think felt comfortable enough in the environment within the Raiders. So, just got to be happy for him that, spending 5 years in the NFL, not being able to quite be yourself has probably been tough on him. And, you just wish him the best of luck. And he's just a football player and he's going to go out there and try to do the best for the Raiders.
Yeah, obviously a very cool moment for him, I'm sure, and a big one for around the league. I think he mentioned it took him 15 years to do this. He was agonizing over it for a long time just to kind of, this, and he realized he's a happy person. He wanted to be true to himself and kind of also help out. He mentioned the Trevor Project, which he made, I think it was $100,000 donation to, and they work with suicide prevention for LGBTQ kids. I just think that's really important that people can look at him as an example. These young kids who are having trouble, as someone who made it his way and is in a league where he definitely stands out and maybe more guys will be comfortable coming out now. So just it's a big moment for the league and also for Carl in particular.
Yeah, I think the fact that it took him 15 years to make this decision and the fact that he's the first active NFL player to come out, and you have players that come out after their careers, it just shows you how hard it is to do that type of thing in an environment like the NFL. So really brave of him, and hopefully there are more people that feel like they can come out and talk about their sexual orientation if they feel like it.
We do want to talk about the biggest topics out of the mini camp. Vic, you were there in Vegas for the Raiders mini camp, and I think maybe probably the number one story to come out of that is that 2020 first round pick Damon Arnett almost seems like an afterthought. Does not look like he is lined up at this moment to be a starter. That would seem to be Trayvon Mullen and Casey Hayward. Doesn't look like he's going to be the guy in the slot either. A first round pick a year later who might not be factoring as a starter. That is not a great look.
Yeah, you heard some rumblings, but I was a little surprised to see it myself and to hear some things from people in the building. I just think that when they signed Casey Hayward, I thought that, obviously they have him, a guy, a veteran guy everyone likes and well-respected, and knows Gus Bradley's system. I thought he and Arnett would fight for the starting outside cornerback spot, with the loser probably going inside the slot, is what I figure. Arnett has played a little bit in college, not much, but definitely has some skill set that might work there. But I thought you'd want him on the field regardless because of the way you picked him. Obviously, at some point, you're very high on the kid. But right now, it looks like they pretty much have given Hayward that one job outside, opposite Trayvon Mullen. And at the slot, you got Nevin Lawson, who seems like he's definitely taking control of that job. And rookie Nate Hobbs is kind of the guy behind him fighting for it also. So I think really Arnett does not factor in at all in terms of those two spots. Looking right now like a backup to both, just kind of like maybe a third or fourth cornerback on the outside, which, again, he's had some troubles last year, but also a lot of, you know, problems off the field as far as COVID and he had some injuries. So I just think that there's probably excuses to say why he probably deserves another shot to kind of take a step up. But at this point, it doesn't seem like it's going to happen. It seems like he definitely is not being counted on for a big role next season.
That's pretty interesting. This, you know, we heard that he did get bigger and looked like he added some size, which he lacked last season. But yeah, just for them to just give the job to Hayward right off the bat seems like they're trying to give him a wake-up call. So they might not be happy about something he's doing, whether it's work ethic or just not learning, picking up the defense fast enough. But it is pretty concerning for a guy that, you know, you spent a first-round draft pick to get last season to be already riding for a bench for Casey Hayward, who really struggled last season. He has a lot to prove. He has to prove that he can get back to the level he played at before because he just didn't play at a very high level last season.
Well, in terms of another guy who needs to get back to his high level of play, Corey Littleton, some talk now that he might not be playing on the inside. He might get moved to outside linebacker in Gus Bradley's system.
Yeah, Gus was saying it's early, obviously. Still, these guys are still wearing shorts. He won't see him in pads. But it looks like his first inclination is kind of maybe to move out to the Sam spot. He likes him on the edge a little bit. He also likes his cover skills. I think that's also a big part of his role. But I wouldn't be surprised if Morrow gets a bigger role inside and then move Littleton outside, which, again, I think if you're looking for a way to get some more production out of Corey, that's maybe the way to go because last year he struggled, and people are going to blame the system of Paul Gunther. But at some point, you got to look at the player also. So I think Gus is trying to figure out where these guys best fit. I like the idea of trying different things. Maybe a change of scenery will be good for Corey.
I think with Sam, I wrote this when Bradley was first hired. They don't really have a guy who fits the prototypical Sam in that system. And Littleton is the closest to fitting that type of position. So, you know, I thought that they could experiment with him there a little bit. He doesn't have that, you know, classic, really strong hands, guy that could knock you back type of strength. But he has the length and athleticism to play that position. But I don't think they're going to be playing a ton of base anyways. But, you know, we'll see how he plays there. But I think they move him there more because of necessity. I just don't think they have that many guys that could play that position.
If we're looking at guys that are going to be counted on to make, you know, maybe the biggest stride possible, if the Raiders are going to really take that next step, I think Henry Ruggs, obviously another of the Raiders' first-round picks from last year, is probably at the top of that list. The Raiders need to see him really emerge and become the true deep receiving threat, short, intermediate. He needs to be, you know, a dynamic receiver that they thought they were getting. Vic, what did you see from him? Looks like he's maybe gotten a little bigger or stronger. I mean, that's one thing I know they went into the offseason asking out of him, is that he needs to get stronger to be able to kind of fight off those defenders, get in and out of his breaks. What do you see out of Henry Ruggs going into year two?
Yeah, he definitely is a little bigger. I think that's a key, like you mentioned, a key part of it. And yeah, John Gruden didn't say much in his first time talking to us in a while, but he did say that Ruggs looks a lot better than he did last year. So I think just the first impression coming in this year is a lot better as far as a guy who can maybe be a little tougher on his routes, kind of make the cuts a little harder, a little more physical. So obviously he has the top-end speed to kind of take the top off the defense, but they want a little more intermediate range. I think just kind of get him going on the slants, maybe he can win some more balls on the inside. So I think at this point, they're definitely excited about the progress he's made. And hopefully, John said it's also on him. They have to give him a bigger role. Like last year, they didn't give him, I think, enough. I think they had to keep going to him and try and get him going. So hopefully this year, he's a bigger part of the offense and is able to take advantage of that by being bigger himself.
Yeah, I think the things that he struggled with last season, obviously, is just trying to pick up John Gruden's offense because it's a very high-volume offense. It can be tough on any rookie. Especially at the receiver position. And like you mentioned, he needed to get bigger, and he did get bigger. And we'll see how that translates on a field, because the things he struggled with, even in college, were getting off press coverage and getting rerouted by guys. So he got bigger, and we're going to have to see it on the field. He can't get pushed around by corners at the line of scrimmage, and he can't get pushed around while he's running routes, because when that happens, your speed gets negated. So it doesn't matter how fast you run. If you can't get off press and you can't get away from physical coverage, then you get slowed down.
You know, another guy who got bigger, and Vic has a story coming out shortly on this, is Yannick Ngakoue. Obviously, probably their biggest free agent signing, a guy that can be a true dynamic edge rusher. He's never had fewer than 8 sacks in the season. Career high is 12.5, and the Raiders are really banking on him being somebody that can come in and elevate their pass rush. But he does have a history where he's not been great against the run. Well, he adds 12 pounds of muscle, which is something you think should boost his ability to play the run. What are the expectations right now out of Yannick Ngakoue? Obviously, he has experience in Gus Bradley's system. He was drafted by Bradley in Jacksonville and reunites with the coach who he played for as a rookie.
They're pretty high. I mean, I think obviously they liked him, you know, when they signed him. Obviously, based on his track records, a proven pass rusher, a veteran guy. I haven't had that in a long time here since Mac left. I think... So that's one thing. And then he comes in, he adds the added muscle. He looks a lot bigger. Definitely is fired up. Definitely saying all the right things. He wants to be a leader. He and Max Crosby are going to be the top duo in the league, he says. I think just a guy who comes in with the right attitude, definitely realizes that they've had some problems here in the past. And says, you know what? This is a new era. This is kind of like we're starting from scratch here. And I'm going to be a big part of the reason why we win. So that's huge for a guy to come in with an alpha male role and kind of like take over. And now the key thing is production. If he can produce as he has in the past, even better than he has in the past, then this was a really good signing. So I think as of right now, at this point in June, the Raiders are thrilled with Ngakoue.
It's interesting that he did want to add more size, because with Bradley's system, traditionally he has two different types of ends in his base package. You have a big end, which plays on a tight end, and has to be better at handling the run, and a Leo, which is a weak side end, which is more of a smaller pass rusher, which is a position that Ngakoue played when he played for Bradley, which you expected him to play. But there was a bit of a conflict there, because Crosby looks like he would have been the Leo, and Ngakoue is a Leo type. So do you sit one of them and start Farrell on the other side as the big end? Or maybe with this added size now, they're more comfortable playing Ngakoue on one side and Crosby on the other?
That's my guess. I think they're Max also, Gus mentioned, has worked hard this offseason. Definitely looks lean. He went to that Von Miller pass rushing summit, and Von's very high on him. Just I think last year played with 2 injuries, and he still had 7 sacks. So in their mind, and Ngakoue also said this, that Max Crosby can be a top player. So I think maybe that is the plan. Maybe that plan is for Ngakoue to get bigger and move to the other side and have Max play the Leo. But those guys are definitely on the same page as having big seasons and being, like Yannick said, being a top duo in the league.
All right. We are going to take a few questions here before we get out of here. And first one comes up from Robert C. Any word on how the coaches are feeling about Bryan Edwards this offseason? Does it seem like he'll be a starter this year, or are we going to be seeing John Brown end up taking his snaps like Aguilar last year? And I think we do have to add some context to that question. You know, Aguilar jumped into the starting lineup and started grabbing those snaps when Bryan Edwards got hurt. I think it was week 2. So it wasn't like Edwards necessarily was immediately benched. He got hurt, and then he never really regained his spot. But what do we think? Is John Brown really going to be the next Nelson Aguilar and end up with that starter job? Or are the Raiders, is John Gruden going to want to get this rookie, this second-year duo going?
I think Edwards is going to start, but I think they're going to be rotating John Brown in on certain packages and on certain plays. You know, unless Edwards really just comes in, he's in phenomenal shape, and he just kills everybody during training camp, really solidifies himself. But I think John Brown is a really, really talented wide receiver, and I think they're both going to split snaps, though Edwards will probably be the starter.
I agree. They start off with Ruggs and Edwards, and I think I like their depth, and I keep saying this, people think I'm nuts, but I think Zay Jones is going to be a factor. I think Zay Jones, they gave him a raise this past offseason, and they love his work ethic, and he's gotten better since he's been here. I think he and Derek Carr have a big rapport. They're always, you know, in the park working out those Twitter photo shoots we see in the park in Vegas. But they're high on Zay Jones. I think he's also a guy. They also like John Brown, but I wouldn't be surprised if Zay Jones is a much bigger role than he did last season.
Here's what I appreciate about Vic. He went big on Nelson Aguilar last year, kept telling us that we were nuts for discounting him and was all on Nelson Aguilar. And he's not just resting on that. He's doubling down and taking Zay Jones to be
I'm
the
not,
big guy
I'm not as strong as Zay Jones. I'm not there yet. But I'm just saying I think he'll be a factor. I think they like John Brown, but I don't know if John Brown is that far ahead of Zay Jones on the depth chart.
How many catches for Zay Jones? 25, 30?
What did he have last year? Didn't he have 20 last year?
He had 14 last year.
Well, obviously at least double it. So I'll give him 28 and without even thinking about it. But I'll say 35. I'll say 35 to keep it conservative. 35 catches.
Another question that focuses on that 2020 draft, although the commenter here does say 2019. But this is from Dennis R. Arnett, Muse, why was 2019's draft, obviously this is 2020's actually, why was 2020's draft so bad? Didn't even mention Lynn Bowden. I mean, all you can say really there is that it is only 1 year in. I mean, certainly the fact that Arnett does not project as a starter right now and Tanner Muse is a guy we don't even talk about as a third round pick doesn't look good. But, you know, they had a great 2019 draft. 2020 wasn't great. Drafting is hard, and especially the way last year's process was, and again this year where you didn't get as much time with these guys, it's not easy.
I like that, man. Drafting is hard. It is hard, man. It's amazing when you hit on the guy. So I think, especially the Raiders. But I definitely think maybe overconfidence was an issue. I remember Mike Mayock saying how they had 3 third-round picks is like stealing because you're getting starters in the third round. And that hasn't been the case. I think Edwards is definitely the best shot they have at a starter. I think the one guy's already gone and the other guy's probably gone soon. So, yeah, sometimes you just got to, I mean, you can't reach. And the Raiders have obviously a habit of reaching. They fall in love with guys. And in Tanner Muse's case, you know, obviously the Clemson kid, they love all guys from Clemson. And I don't think they really figured too much in the fit. They thought he's a kid, a great kid, aggressive, yada, yada, yada. But you know, making the switch from safety to linebacker is tough, especially if you don't have all the athletic traits that you want at linebacker. So it was a tough move already. And then the system, now I've got a new system. So I just think, like you mentioned, it is tough for draft picks to make it. And I think in that case, we're looking at these three guys from last year, and it has been tough.
Yeah, I mean, the jury's still out on Arnett. And Arnett is kind of a interesting pick because when you watch his film, you love his film. And coaches love film, obviously. But when you look at some of the other things that scouts look at, like measurables and age, he just does not compare very well in those areas. So it's kind of interesting that it seems like Arnett is a real coach's pick, but you don't get that scouting perspective when making that kind of pick in the first round.
With Arnett, you hear like all the talk was all these old school guys, nasty, would have played for the old Raiders. But the problem is we're not, you know, it's 2021, so the game has changed a little bit. So I think guys with toughness, that's great, but you got to have the other measurables and maturity. There was always a knock on his maturity coming out of college, and that may also still be a factor. So I think, it wasn't a good year for the Raiders draft-wise, but hopefully they can salvage something out of it this year. We'll see.
All right, final question, this one from Gennaro C. Any word yet on whether or not games will be broadcast in the Bay Area? Is this the year Bay Area fans need an out-of-market package? Basically, I would just say, as the years go on, it's going to be increasingly less likely that you get them on TV. It's not there's no blanket decision that gets made. It's basically the stations get to choose what game they're going to pick. I mean, obviously, if you have the 49ers playing and they're on Fox, and Fox has to run it, and there's different rules. If the Niners are playing at the same time but on the road, they get another game. It ends up coming down to, say, your Channel 5, and you have the choice of a Raiders game against whoever, and there's maybe another game that seems more interesting to you. That's your choice. I would say, yeah, I think one game last year did not air in the Bay Area. So we only had one game. The Raiders have to just be interesting. If they're interesting, then most of their games are probably going to still be on here. If not, we'll see what happens with the new DirecTV package when that all opens up and that becomes available to more people. If you don't have to have DirecTV to get Sunday Ticket anymore, it's going to eventually be a case where you're going to need the out-of-area package, I think, to get most games. But for now, I would expect you'll still get most, but it's on the Raiders to kind of remain interesting and convince the Bay Area stations to still air them.
Is 8-8 interesting?
You can't be 8-8. Remember this year, 17 games. Oh, yeah. So 8-8's impossible.
But if it's 8-8, do you lose a game?
8-1.
Or it stays the same?
8-1.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right. Forgot. We've got 17 games now.
Yeah, you probably got to do better than that. I think, you know, like Jimmy said, I think now going forward, I think Barrier fans, you know, ability to watch these games will be tied to wins more than ever. So that's probably not been a good sign historically. But, you know, they're trying to be in the upswing. So maybe they get going and they stay on TV. But I think Jimmy's right. As time goes on, you'll probably see less and less games on Bay Area TV.
Yeah, I mean, let's say, I don't know what, this is probably a primetime game, I'm sure it is, but let's say, you know, Tampa Bay at New England this year is on Channel 5 opposite a Raider game. If you're Channel 5, you're probably going with Tampa Bay, New England. But yeah, Raiders got to win, and then they'll get more games on TV in the Bay Area. But all right, guys, that'll wrap up this episode of State of the Nation here on the Athletic Podcast Network. We will be back probably as we get closer to training camp getting underway on July 27th, and we'll see what the Raiders can make out of year two in Las Vegas.
Talk to you later.
Adios.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.